Now, tomorrow night, the new Shrivenham Heritage Centre is being opened by Professor John Holmes, the military historian, famous for the series Wellington and the Iron Duke, and In the Footsteps of Churchill. It's a culmination of a lot of hard work for one Shrivenham resident in particular, Tony Jones, who's taken, well, been part of the Shrivenham landscape, I suppose, for 20 years, has been collecting documentation and archives of the area and has brought them all together for future generations to enjoy. He joins us in what must be an incredibly busy period at the moment in preparation of the opening, but joins us this afternoon to tell us a little bit more about the project. Tony, thank you for coming in. 20 years you've been in Shrivenham. What brought you there in the first place?
I came here because I liked the area, because it was near to the Defence Academy, well, the Cranfield University campus there. I wanted good technology for my electronics business. I wanted good support, lovely countryside, easy access for commerce and industry, the M4 and Heathrow and so on. And it ticked all the boxes. And I love it there. It's the best place I've ever lived. I love Oxford, and I always support the boats, the boat race. I just want to make a slight correction there, that the professor is better known as Professor Richard Holmes.
Oh, sorry.
I think maybe his middle name is John, but it's Professor Richard Holmes that everybody's heard about him on the radio and television and books and all sorts of things.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about his involvement in a moment or two as well. But tell us how you personally got involved with the sort of work towards creating this centre.
I was originally involved going back nearly 20 years ago with the local history society, and I loved what it was showing me. And I realised for the first time that I was enjoying history rather than it being a terrible bore in the past. And I realised what I'd been missing.
Because history wasn't one of your strong points at school.
weakest, in fact, apart from languages. And I realised there was a lot of things there to stimulate. And then I found, scattered around Reyes places, specifically in Mervyn Penny's house and a few others, loads and loads of documents, photographs, all sorts of archives and memorabilia and so on, which really lit me up in terms of interest. But they were scattered, and I wanted to pull them together so that other people could share them. And some of the archives were in a room within the Memorial Hall. That unfortunately got burgled, and the pigeons got in and decorated the place as they do. And I rescued them, and a year later, Rachel Daniels in the Defence Academy, she found some accommodation in Beckett House for the archives. And so with Rachel's help, merged the village archives with the military archives, and we had a very good arrangement. So thank you again, Rachel. But the time came when it was no longer convenient for the staff to stay in the Defence Academy, partly security reasons, partly accommodation. And so with the help of David Pratt, who's the secretary of the parish council, and he's clerk to the parish council, secretary to the trustees of the Memorial Trust, we eventually found somewhere which actually was in the Memorial Hall. But it was a hell of a dump at the time, I mean, that particular room. And so a team of able-bodied people, headed by Ian Winskill, lots of names, Andy Ware and Elaine Ware, who's a district councillor, lots of other people put their backs into this and turned it into a study centre, come library, come nice place to be.
It's interesting you were saying there the sort of a lot of the information has been housed before being the Defence Academy, because obviously the Defence Academy has played such a large part in Shrivenham life.
Absolutely, yes. You can't separate them. I mean, a lot of the residents either work or have worked in the Defence Academy, or their husbands or wives did. Yes, you can't separate it. And a lot of the children within Shrivenham and Watchfield, because I link the villages together, Shrivenham, Watchfield and Boughton, a lot of the children are from foreign lands where their parents have come in for courses or to lead courses at the Defence Academy or the Cranfield University. It's all on the same campus. Mm-hmm. And so we've got lots and lots of interest The relevance there for the heritage is that we get inquiries, I say we, the heritage people, team, we get inquiries from literally all around the world saying, I was there 10 years ago studying this or reading that. Can you tell me about the house where I once was? You know, I believe it was old. Who occupied it 100 years ago? I want to be able to answer those questions. Or, you know, there's lots of things. There's loads and loads of records, if only we can get them organised.
And as you said, there were loads of records, but they were scattered, and it was about bringing them all together and making them accessible to people who wanted to do a little bit of research. When you first got involved, which was just under 10 years ago, I think...
As Secretary of the History Society, I was aware of all this stuff, and it gradually came to me it wasn't being handled the way it needs to be. I'm not saying I'm an expert. I was the only one that put my neck out to do something about it. So I started what in those days I called the Shrivenham District Archives Group, or SADAG. The parish council and the trustees said, oh no, the buzzword is heritage. So we turned it around a bit to become a heritage centre, saying this is the inheritance for the children of the future. And it's also what we as adults have inherited. It's our heritage to pass on. I want to make that something that's pleasant and interesting and accessible.
Having been part of Shrivenham for 20 years, which compared to many residents, I suppose, it seems just a short term, were there stories that you were surprised to unearth, the incidents or individuals that were a part of Shrivenham's history that really took you by surprise?
Yes, dozens and dozens. I mean, I suppose, average in age. I'm in early 70s, but you find others as sort of 80s, 90s, 100s even. And they got memories going back to pre-war years and the way things have evolved. We've interviewed some of those. We've done it with written down interviews and with cameras, you know, with films and so on. We're going to do some... oral interviews as well, get something from them, either within Shrivenham or what they were attached to. Like Bletchley Park, one of our close members is an ex-Bletchley Park person. This didn't come out until relatively recently. Such rich heritage. And people, there's lots of people that have done something interesting around the world in terms of things which were secret, which can come out now. So not just Shrivenham, but there is a wealth of history there.
Indeed, you were telling me just before we came to air of an individual who has connections with the moon landing.
Indeed, yes. I mean, I really believe it happened. Some people are cynical, but no, I believe it happened. And people have got so much to contribute, and they want to contribute. I won't say that they're pushing themselves forward to be recognised, but if you really push them, you really pull it out of them, they are fascinating.
How far does your documentation go back? What's the oldest piece of artefact you have?
I wasn't around when it was originally written, but in 1652, there's an affidavit which we've got on the files, an original affidavit, which certified that a lady, I can forget her name for the minute, was to be buried in a woolen shroud. And in those years, it was the rule, it was the law that to protect the woolen industry, you had to be buried in a woolen shroud. So you had to get a certificate or an affidavit to say that that was the case. That was the only way you could be buried.
And that gives you a great insight into the social economic situation of the area over the years and how it has evolved.
Yes, the economics and the protection of the local trades. And the more you read into this and read between the lines, you realise you're learning something about the cultures and the customs. One of the things that comes out in Shrivenham that I've noticed, but on the one hand, we've got absolutely top-rate, world-leading, cutting-edge, whatever words you want, technology and science and so on, really top of the tree. And at the other end, we've got all sorts of fundamental things that go back hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, in fact, mentioned in the Doomsday, about the agricultural lands and the problems and the poor laws and the paupers. And Mervyn Penny has done a hell of a lot of work on this, and I want to look after that stuff. But complete spread of cultures and wealth and so on. Some very rich people, some very poor people, young people, old people. Everything you like to mention is there.
So how is this all going to be accessible now to people wanting to find out a little bit more?
What we want to do as soon as we can after the opening, and hopefully right away, is to be open every Tuesday afternoon no, sorry, Tuesday morning, beg your pardon, mm-hmm. With somebody that's there to guide people around, but also whilst the team is there to look after what it is so it doesn't get spoilt or taken away. So you could look at it, you can even perhaps touch it, but not take it away. You could learn from it. We want to put a lot of stuff on the internet when we're ready, so that anybody around the world can access it. What I have done so far is index a lot of the stuff, so that you can search the index to say, ah, that's the thing I'd like to look at more carefully.
And is it a fairly complete picture of the last 300 years or so you have, or are there still elements that you think there's more information waiting to be unearthed and extra pieces to the jigsaw?
Well, a couple of years ago, we thought we'd achieved something like 50 or 60% indexing or cataloguing. So much has come in that that percentage has dropped because we've got so much more, and there's more coming in every day. So in terms of completeness, it's a long time before it's complete, but we can do our best.
And I suppose with every person that's lived in Shrivenham is a story which is relevant to the makeup of what Shrivenham is.
And I don't want to forget the children, because we've got lots of photograph books and little story books that the children have generated in the primary school, in the brownies, by leading right through to the WI and so on. And these are modern day things. History starts from the minute I've stopped talking. And we want to preserve that. They've got something to contribute. And as they go up through, the children go through the classes, I remember how it was 5 years ago. And that's interesting to the ones that follow on.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're interested to see. So, and look at how things were. I mean, I've got photographs from as recent as, well, to me it's recent, 1950s, and people are dressed really weirdly. Did they really dress like that? To me, that was norm.
Mm-hmm. But to a new generation of children growing up, it does seem a world away. Yeah. Tell us what's going to be happening tomorrow.
Right, tomorrow from 7 o'clock, we've got the official opening by... the councillor, the chairman of the district council, that's the Vale of... White Horse District Council, mm-hmm. Councillor Alison Rook, and Professor Richard Holmes. He's going to give a talk about the Iron Duke, Duke of Wellington, and that will be of tremendous relevance to people in the military area of Watchfield and Shrivenham. And there'll be access, that'll be in the main hall of the Memorial Hall at Shrivenham, which accommodates about 150 people. And we've got nearly 150 people listed as being interested, ticketed, isn't it? The actual Heritage Centre is only a smallish room, so only a small people can get into that at any given time. So we'll have some drinks there available at the bar, pay bar, I must add. Anybody that wants to go up and can get upstairs, either then or at a later time, we'll show them what there is and ask them to come back if they can't come then.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you, Tony. Thank you very much for coming in.
Congratulations
with the endeavours. And I'm sure it is something that, as you said, the percentage rate goes down because you just end up getting more and more information and more fascinating stories to share with everybody there. But very well done, and all the best with tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.